أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Chapter 56, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Remember the benefits that we said to you in the beginning, and that is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, faqih hadhi al-ummah, the faqih of this ummah. He is laying on his deathbed. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu comes and says that he paid him a visit, and this conversation had ensued. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu said, Ma tashtaki, that what are you suffering from? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu mentioned, Dunubi, from my sins. Imagine such a great Sahabi and the faqih of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and this ummah, he is mentioning my sins. That's his concern. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu said, Ma tashtahi, do you desire anything? And what's the response of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu? He says, yes, rahmat rabbi, my sustainer's mercy, that's what I'm desirous of. Because that is ultimately what is going to save us. And he's teaching the ummah that at this given time, nothing can save me. It's only the mercy of Allah. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu then says, Ala amuru laka bi tabibin? Shall I not call a doctor for you? Maybe he can assist you. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu says, A tabibu maradani? Has the doctor given me this ailment? Is it the doctor who has given me the sickness? Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu says, Ala amuru laka bi ata'. Okay, let's see. Maybe I send you some allowance from the public treasury, from the Baytul Mal. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu says, La hajat li fi. I have no need for it. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu says, but accept it, yakunu libanatika min ba'dik, it will be good, it will be beneficial for your daughters, and they will take benefit from it after you, so it will help them, it will assist them. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu says, atakhsha ala banati al-faqra? Are you worried? Atakhsha? Are you worried about my daughter's poverty? Inni amartu banati. I instruct them. Yaqra'na kulla laylatin surat al-waqi'ah. I instruct them every night to recite surat al-waqi'ah. Here's the proof why. إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, because he was a faqih, and he's speaking to not just no ordinary person, Dhunnurayn, that is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. So he has to provide some, back it up with some evidence. So he says, إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, من قرأ سورة الواقعة كل ليلة, whoever recites سورة الواقعة every night, لَمْ تُصِبْهُ فَاقَةً أَبَدًا, he will never ever taste poverty. He will never ever suffer from poverty. So this is the benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, put us onto the straight path. Give us the ability to engage in all of this. I told you, we witnessed our grandparents. They didn't probably know all these virtues, maybe no year there, but their practice, with us knowing all these virtues, it is still so difficult for us to practice. We have to sort of put ourselves, program ourselves, whereas they were programmed. No moment, no day would go, no night would go, until what they would say, wazifas. Wazifas, we said, wadaif, that's what that routine, actions which you do on a daily basis. They were paban. They had istiqama in this. Du'as for the contentment of the heart. They would be sitting with that and reciting all of that because they knew, we don't know much, but let's practice. That's why one mufti said to me once, he said to me before, this was many years ago, he said, oh, I was still young and didn't know much. He said before, why I'm saying this is because to let you know that was the condition probably about 10 years ago, what must be the condition now? He said that previously people would ask a question. Previously people would ask questions to put into amal, to put into practice. There were no questions after those questions, or there was no ulterior motive to ask that question apart from putting it into action. He says, today people are asking questions to oppose you. People are asking questions because they feel they want to refute you. Refutation for batil, against batil, that's beneficial, that's good. But refute, or by a person who's not knowledgeable on the issue, and he wants to refute you, or he, say for example, topi. And this thought occurred yesterday coming out of the masjid. Just jumping in the car, I'm thinking to myself that you get certain so-called knowledgeable people, and they say that to wear the sunnah dress, there's no real proof for it. There is what's your definition of the, they change, so they go to the sunnah dress and they change it from there. And then they say, what we term now, what to wear the kurta and the topi and the pants, they say, even if you wear a normal shirt, it qualifies as sunnah dress. So our definition of sunnah dress and theirs is two different things. So how then do you make this differentiation clear? Well, it's simple. It's simple. When you leave all, because now you're speaking to general people, leave all of what you think and what I think. Let's take two people. Let's take one who's dressed in a kurta and a pants above his ankles. And we must also say the two limitations. One is above the ankles and must be below the thighs, below the knees. Let's be specific. Because the men's, if you look at the men's awra, the men's covering where he has to sit, we say, it's from, for the Hanafis, from below the navel, including the knees. Including the knees. How sad it is to say today, different madaris. The students are so, like, you know, passionate about soccer. The soccer kit is out, and they are playing soccer. And the thighs are exposed. The other day I had to call one of the students, and I said, you are in madrasa, remove this. Go and wear your sunnah. You are not on a soccer field. You are not playing for some Champions League or something. Cover your sitar. So, we in madrasa to learn, but look what kind. And the madrasa probably doesn't even promote it, doesn't even allow it, but behind the scenes, this is what they are doing. So, this all is calling towards what? All of this, your legs exposed, men, the sitar being exposed, all of this, it's promoting the LGBTQ. That's exactly what you're doing. And soccer has all of this evil tendencies towards it. So this, why do we mention all of this to you? So that we may alert others. I was saying to you, two students or two people. One is dressed sunnah. The other is dressed shirt, tie, suit, whatever you want. So, if you take a person who's not a Muslim, he doesn't know nothing about Islam, and you say, please tell me, what do you notice about these two people? You say, this person here is a Muslim, this person I'm not sure of. Mufti Ibrahim Saleji one day, he mentioned this. One day, someone came to visit the madrasa, the Darul Uloom in Isipingo. As the person was leaving, he came and he met Mufti Saab and he said that, you know what, I'm highly upset, Mufti Saab. Mufti Ibrahim Saleji said, but why? He said, I've walked around your madrasa. No, none of your students greet me. None of your students greet me. So Mufti Saab is, he knows how to give the message off in a nice way, in a sweet tone. So he said, let me explain to you something. Look, I just want you to think and ponder. He leaves you with something to think about. I just want you to ponder and think about this. Look at the way you are dressed. Look at your hair. Do you consider yourself to be a Muslim? Dressed Muslim? Or would you say that you... So I'm paraphrasing here. It's not exact words, but this was what was more or less said. The understanding of this. So the person was thinking. So he said, when you're walking around this madrasa now, they don't know whether you are Muslim or not. This is Islam. It's an identity. And shifting away from your identity when you're getting all these people like, who is it? This strange Yasir, whoever he is and whatever. They speak and they say, perfect. Where is it proven to wear to? That's why in his talks he doesn't. Now, let us say this also. The dean, this dean team or whatever, they have to be, you know, a team. It must be something Western about it, dean team. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about Ashabul Maymana here in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Allah speaks about Ashabul Mash'ama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about As-Sabiqoon. Allah speaks about Al-Muqarrabun. You have to now say which, it's not a team, which part of the Ummah do you want to belong to? Do you want to be those who are Ashabul Maymana? Those on the right, or you want to be part of those who are on the left, or you want an elite position, and that's Ashabul Ula'ikal Muqarrabun, which we're going to come to. You have to decide. And of course, Innamal A'malu Bil Khawatim, narration of Bukhari Sharif, actions are dependent. Innamal A'malu Bin Niyat, that you know. But the end is with the end. The last action, look at Mufti Muhammad Desai, Rahmatullah Ali. Last action, Salah. Last action, Salah. What do you want your last action to be? When you know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in narration of Bukhari Sharif again, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. A person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. When you are spending your life trying to emulate Ashabul Mash'ama, constantly trying to match them, then how are you going to be successful when you are going to be raised with those people? We say, we become so excited. He is, his surname is Salah. Salah. They say, no, Salah with a ha at the end. Not Salah that you read, Salah. So that's become the heroes. Ashabul Mash'ama is the heroes, the losers. But no, we're going to pass away with Kalima. You never know. Yes, we never know. The pious may, your last end result, you don't know what it's going to be like. But doesn't mean you mustn't try. Doesn't mean you must intentionally go on this route of life and say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you are a foolish person. Imagine Nabi, I'm not saying it, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam categorized, classified you as a foolish person. Wal ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah. A foolish person is he? Is he? He just follows his nafs, his desires. من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله. And afterwards, in our words, what we'll say, Allah is غفور الرحيم. Allah is غفور الرحيم. So where, which portion? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. أصحابل وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة. Verse 7, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. You will be categorized into three categories. Ashabul Maymana, Ashabul Mash'ama, and As-Sabiqoon. So which, these are the three verses. When you see Verse number 8, for Ashab al-Maymana, as for the people of the right, Ma Ashab al-Maymana, how lucky are the people of the right. Wa Ashab al-Mash'ama, and the people of the left, Ma Ashab al-Mash'ama, how are the people of the left, meaning how wretched are the people of the left. That's verse number 9. Verse 10, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, and the foremost are the foremost. السَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, the foremost are the foremost. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, those are the ones blessed with nearness. Those are the ones blessed with nearness to Allah. So in tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to be discussing this various, we've already spoken yesterday on Ashabul Maymana, Ashabul Mash'ama. Tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to be speaking, or rather next week, Monday, we'll be speaking about As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, who are the foremost. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.